Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
It all comes down to this. What do you require of me? Love my neighbor as myself. To you above all things. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you, God. It all comes down to this, to be your hands and feet, good news to all the world, the truth will set us free. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you, God.
Good morning, First Baptist Church. It is great to see you. The words you just heard in that song are scripture. They come straight from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And that's where we will be spending our time today in the message as we work through the book of Micah. And so we start with the scripture we will end with as well. It's an honor to have you here today. Let me say to every man in the room, Happy Father's Day. And we celebrate you and we're thankful for you. So men, we have a gift for you. This is for every man in the room. Before you leave today, at the door as you make your way out, we have a gift card for you to go to a local ice cream shop to get ice cream for you. And so we encourage you to take that and enjoy. And we're thankful for you being here and we're honored to have you with us today. I would also take a moment to say welcome to those who are participating online. We're thankful to have you worshiping with us. You'll see on your screen an information. It will tell you how to text the word welcome and what number to send it to. So if you'll do that, we'd love to have a record of your being here and have a little communication through text with you. If you are in the room, we invite you. We did not have a regular worship guide to give you today, only the serve guides. But for today, for your worship guide, there has been for several weeks now a digital info guide. You may not have realized it, but we've been introducing it over the last number of weeks. And so today, if you'll take your phone, if you have a smartphone, if you'll just open your camera app on it, it and place it over that QR code in the pews in front of you right there on the backs of the pews. And then when it lights up yellow, just press the button and you'll have all the information. There are things to sign up for, all kinds of things to know about and be a part of. So we invite you to make sure you take a look at that and participate. So we're going to pray, and then I'm going to have a special time of baptism. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that we can come together and worship you. Lord, here in our nation as we celebrate Father's Day and we stop and reflect on men in our lives who have been an influence to us and the way we as men can be an influence on others. Father, we thank you for men who are raising their families in a godly standard, who are seeking to show them who you are and what you're up to. God, my prayer is that you would continue to give men a boldness and a desire to live for you and serve you and point others to you. And God, we take a moment right now to pray for our church of the week. Our church of the week is First Baptist Church of Boaz. We pray for Pastor Steve Brown and their congregation. Lord, that you will move in power among them, that you will use them as a light in their community there in downtown Boaz and beyond. Father, I pray for our mission of the week, which is the Bridge Church plant in Geraldine, Alabama. Father, it's been an honor to be a part of their church from the very beginning. Lord, we pray that you'll use them in power today. Be with Brother Matthew as he brings a message. Speak through him. We pray that you would allow that church to see many more people come to know you in the days and weeks to come. And Father, for every church across our city, Lord, that you will bring revival today. Lord, for our lives as individuals, help us to learn to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. God, today we pray that every song we sing would give you the glory and honor that you deserve. And I pray that every expression that happens today, from baptism to worship to giving through an offering, but through the message, Father, that everything that's done would give you the glory and honor you deserve. You are an amazing God. We serve you. We honor you. We worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, friends, who's ready for baptism? This is Alicia Henry, and Alicia, got it right there, perfect. You want to wave with everybody? You've got some family right down there on the front, I see. So they're right, you see them in the front row? All right, so Alicia gave her life to the Lord back in March, and she has wanted to be baptized every Sunday since that day. She's ready. I mean, she has been ready and had a few things that just had to take place to make that happen. But I want you to know, as I met with her, it's awesome when you know that a child has been discipled by their parents, by their grandparents, by their faith family, by all those that have influence over them. Because the reality is, every question I had, she knew the answer to. If I let you know a little secret, she gave a better answer about some of those than adults do. And I'm so thankful to know that God is at work in her life, and she has given her life to the Lord. And so we've been looking for this date to happen for a few weeks now, right? We've been so excited. So, Alicia, let me ask you, who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What an exciting time. I'm so thankful for that and for Alicia. We have another baptism next Sunday, so we would encourage you to be ready for that as well. And if God has laid on your heart, you may say, well, what is baptism and what is that about? Just a quick reminder that baptism is not what saves you. Alicia gave her life to the Lord a few months ago. But baptism is a symbol of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. It's a symbol of our dying to our old ways, being made new in Him and rising in Him. And so it is the first command of obedience for those of us that are following Jesus. So if you're here and you are following Jesus, you've given your life to Him, but you've never experienced believer's baptism, I want you to know this water's warm, and we invite you to participate and to take that step of obedience that the Lord would command. And so we encourage you to do so. You can see me or one of our staff ministers anytime, and we'll help make that happen. But more baptisms to come. I'd love to see one every Sunday this year. Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, yeah. So we celebrate God's goodness and His holiness. God is holy. Would you repeat this after me? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
He is holy. So let's sing to Him and about Him now. Let's stand together as we sing.
song shall rise to again. Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Man hath fallen from thee. Through the blood of Christ thy Son, this soul can be. To crown thee, Savior.
Savior, like a shepherd lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine meal on. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine we are.
Sing, blessed Jesus.
Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine we are.
Blessed are you, Lord. We praise your name this morning. In your name we do pray. Amen. Please be seated as we continue worshiping this morning.
Shout Jesus from the mountains.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Church, there is freedom in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There is salvation in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There is power. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Cry out to Jesus this morning. Somebody say the name of Jesus this morning.
Amen.
Somebody shout the name of Jesus as we sing this together. Come on, church, sing it out.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over.
Father, we call on Jesus. We thank you for the privilege of being able to sing that song, the truth of that. We do claim Jesus on Sand Mountain. We claim Jesus in the streets of Albertville and Boaz and Gunnersville, Crossville, Douglas, Grant, Aniana, Sardis, all the different communities represented in this room. Father, we ask that the name of Jesus would be on the tongues, on the lips of every believer today. And for those that don't know you, that they would come to know Jesus today, that someone would show them a true and clear picture of who he is. So God, we've tried our best to sing praise to you this morning, starting with scripture from Micah 6:8. Father, then moving to the beautiful hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty, which comes straight from scripture. We see in Revelation where we will speak those words to you face to face someday. Father, to ask the Savior to lead us and then to speak the name of Jesus. God, my prayer is that all that we've done to give you glory and honor would have prepared our hearts now as we open your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, friends. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Micah. It's in the Old Testament. That's the first two-thirds of your Bible. The Old Testament ends not long after the book of Micah was written, this prophecy. And then you have 400 years of silence, we call it, where there is no spoken word that is written in the scriptures. And then Jesus shows up on the scene. Well, what you will find today is that in the book of Micah, it's about Jesus and it's about what he's done for us. And this is one of the books of our series called Major in the Minors. The minor prophets are 12 different books. They're all small. That's why they're minor. They're small. But they are prophecy about what God was saying to the people of Israel in that day, what he's saying to us today, and what he's saying about a day to come. And so we will look today at the book of Micah. Micah chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. This one verse gives us a great amount of context for the entire message today. It says this, "The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem." Now, that's a lot of information. Let me unpack it for you really quickly. First of all, remember that Micah, it shows us that he's from Judah. Well, what's the difference? Israel has been divided into two kingdoms. You have the 10 tribes of Israel to the north, and that's the northern kingdom of Israel. And then you have the two tribes of Judah to the south, and that is the southern kingdom. It's all the people of God, but it's two different kingdoms. And he tells us that Micah is from Moresheth. Moresheth is a town about 25 miles south of Jerusalem, so that means he is from Judah. Most of the time, that would mean he would be speaking just to the people of Judah, but this scripture is clear that he's not just speaking to Judah, but to Judah and to Israel. How do we know that? Again, he speaks of Samaria and Jerusalem. Samaria is the capital where the temple resides for the northern kingdom, and Jerusalem is the capital where the temple resides for the southern kingdom of Judah. So this is a prophecy for all of Israel, both groups, and it also tells us when it was written. He mentions three kings by name that he was prophesying during the time of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Well, we know from history when they ruled as king, so that means this book was written between 750 BC and 700 BC. That gives us a lot of insight into what's happening in this time. Israel made a covenant with God about 600 years earlier, right before they entered the promised land. God made a covenant with them, but they have gone back on their word. They are no longer living the way that God called them to. They are no longer worshiping the way God called them to. And they were not treating others the way God had called them to. Now listen, friends, I want you to know something. It's been 2,700 years since this book was written, but God is still concerned about how we live. God is still concerned about how we worship. And he is still concerned about how we treat others. Amen? Listen, how we live matters. So Israel's discipline shows up through two armies. The Assyrians show up and devour the northern kingdom. And then the Babylonians show up and take over the southern kingdom and exile many of the Jewish people to different parts of the world. So we see the discipline of God coming to fruition in the midst of this as well. Now, why do I tell you that? Here, this is an important lesson for you today. God is willing to go to extreme measures to love and lead his own. You need to remember that because it's still true in your life today. God is willing to go to extreme measures to love and lead his own. And so the book of Micah is really divided into three sets of prophecies of punishment. It's not a very exciting book to read on Father's Day. There's some pretty negative things here, but we'll get to the positive stuff as well. But three different sections where you see here's the punishment that's awaiting Israel and Judah if they do not repent. And then at the end of each prophecy of punishment, he gives them an opportunity to find hope in the middle of that. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look for one of those only. We don't have time to read them all, but let me remind you that God's discipline in your life, just like it was in the lives of the Israelites there in this day, God's discipline is an act of mercy. Because when God disciplines us, he is trying to draw us back to him. Here's how I would word it for you today. He loves you enough not to leave you alone. Listen, for some of you that know, maybe in your past you wandered away or you really struggled for a long time and God worked you back to him. Listen, wouldn't you be so thankful to say today that he does love us enough not to leave us alone? Aren't you glad God didn't abandon you? I'm so thankful for that. So what we will see is one of these prophecies of discipline. If you look in Micah chapter 6, Micah chapter 6 is where we'll spend our time. In Micah 6, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel." So we get imagery of a courtroom, right? In fact, you'll see that all through the book of Micah. If you go back to chapter 1, we don't have time right now, you will see God is the star witness in the case against Israel. And then right here in chapter 6, you see that God is the prosecutor against Israel in this case. And if you understand the entire book of Micah and all of the books of prophecy, we know very well that God is the judge. So if you are the judge, the prosecutor and the chief witness, you've got a strong case. And so God knows the truth and he speaks it to them. So let's skip down and see what he tells them they have done. Go down to verse 9, chapter 6, verse 9. It says, the voice of the Lord cries to the city, and it is sound wisdom to fear your name. Hear of the rod and of him who appointed it. Verse 10, can I forget any longer the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked and the scant measure that is accursed? Verse 11, this begins to explain it to us. Shall I acquit the man with wicked scales and with a bag of deceitful weights? They were not being honest. Verse 12, your rich men are full of violence. Your inhabitants speak lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. He says they're violent and they're not telling the truth. Verse 13, therefore, I strike you with a grievous blow, making you desolate because of your sin. Verse 14, now he's prophesying about their captivity that's coming. You shall eat, but not be satisfied. There shall be hunger within you. You shall put away, but not preserve. And what you do preserve, I will give to the sword. Verse 15, you will sow, but not reap. You will tread olives, but not anoint yourselves with oil. You shall tread grapes, but not drink wine. For you have kept the statutes of Omri and all the works of the house of Ahab, and you have walked in their counsel, that I may make you a desolation and your inhabitants a hissing. So you shall bear the scorn of my people. Happy Father's Day. That's kind of sad, right? It's pretty serious. But don't worry, there's good news here, okay? He's telling them what they have done as a people of God. And he mentions, let me give you a little clue to what he's saying here. When he says at the end, you may read it and not know what it means. When he says, for you have kept the statutes of Omri and all the works of the house of Ahab. Do you know who Omri and Ahab are? Let me share with you. Omri and Ahab are a father and son pair of kings. They ruled as kings. One was the father, and he was the king for a while, and one was the son. And they have been memorialized in the Bible for a very important distinction. You know what it is? They were evil. They are known for being evil. They've not just been memorialized. They have been really put in a place of infamy because of it. Let me read it to you. You don't have time to turn here, but let me read it. In 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 23, it says, in the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, so in the southern kingdom, Asa, Omri began to reign over Israel in the north. And he reigned 12 years. 6 years he reigned in Tirzah. Then he bought the hill of Samaria from Shamer for 2 talents of silver, and he fortified the hill and called the name of the city that he built there Samaria, named after Shamer, the owner of the hill. And so Omri did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did more evil than all who were before him. So Omri becomes king of Israel. He buys a plot of land on a hill. He gives it the name of the man who he bought it from, so it's called Samaria. He builds a temple there and lets that become the capital area for the people of Israel. But don't miss the last line. That sounds like a good thing that he did, but look at what it says. It says that he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did more evil than all who were before him. Now, aren't you glad the Bible doesn't say that about you? But wait, Omri's son came along and he says, Dad, hold my crown and watch this. And then he does something much worse. He does in 1 Kings, the next verse, verse 30. It says, and Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. And as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he took for his wife Jezebel. Now, you may not know all the stories of Jezebel, but you may from the Bible, but everybody in here probably knows that the name Jezebel is not a respected name. It's a name for an evil queen. And so he took for his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal. Baal was a false god and worshiped him.
he erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. So you have the temple for God, and next to it, he puts a temple for a false god. He's showing his father up. And then Ahab made an Asherah. An Asherah pole was a pole that was used for pagan worship of the god Asherah. So Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him, including his father. What a pair. And so when Micah is given these words from God, and he says to the people of Israel, specifically he was speaking to the leaders of Israel, and he says, you have walked in the statutes of Omri, and you have lived your life like Ahab. That was bad. He was telling them that they were worshiping false idols, they were weakening their worship of God, and they were not treating their neighbors well. And so he was speaking of how they were living their lives. So surely God would discipline Israel and Judah. But here's the interesting thing. In the middle of all that, and God is going to discipline them, he takes time to remind Israel and Judah how they could live and walk in fellowship with him. So now it's sandwiched between those first verses of Micah 6, where they're indicted, the last verses of Micah 6, where we get what they did wrong, and right in the middle of that are three verses. And these verses are designed to help us know how to live. And you've already heard the choir sing about it at the start of the service. Look at Micah chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. It says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? In other words, because God has said multiple times, I'm going to punish you, Micah now says, what can I do to make things right? He says, shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Verse 7, would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? A person could only bring one ram, but if they could bring thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil, shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Then he listened to what he says. No. Verse 8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Just like we said earlier, friends, God is still concerned about how we live, how we worship, and how we treat others. So this is the key. This verse is a key verse in the book of Micah. This and what we'll read in just a moment are the two key passages. It's the idea that God is saying, this is how you can repent. It won't be just to get on your knees. No, it won't be just to sing a song to me. It won't be just to go through baptism waters. If you really want to honor me, do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. So what does that mean? The idea of do justice, it simply means this: do what is right. If you want to do justice, do what is right. Take the next right step in front of you. Now listen, I didn't say take the next convenient step in front of you. I didn't say take the next step in front of you that benefits you the most. It's the idea of doing what is right. If you're having a problem at work and you don't know what to do, do justice. Take the next right step in front of you. If you're having a problem at school and you don't know what to do, do justice. Take the next right step in front of you. If you're having a problem in your family, do justice. Take the next right step in front of you. Not what's convenient, not what washes it away, not what makes you feel better, what is right. What is the right thing to do from God's standards? And it's important that we understand this is God's standards, not my standards. Because my standards, listen, I have learned about myself that if I were God, I would give myself, I like to give people a little slack who do the things that I do. But those things that I never do, that some of you struggle with, listen, I say, hold them to the wall for that. Hold them accountable, God. Why? Well, see, that's not right. It's not my standards. It's God's standards. So do justice. Do the next right thing in front of you. And then it says, love mercy. Your translation might say love, loving kindness. It's kind of a double word there. Because the idea of mercy here, the meaning behind it, is loving kindness. In other words, it's the act of love through kindness. That is mercy. It's something you live out. It is not something that you just say you're going to do. It's a decision with your heart and a decision with your mind to love others through kindness. Now, I will tell you, we have cheapened the word love. How do I know it? Because yesterday, I didn't even spend that long. I was busy outside most of the day. A lot of you probably were too. It was a beautiful day. But the times that I did happen to get onto social media on my phone, I bet at least five times I gave a little heart emoji. I love something five times. Now, first of all, men, what would our great granddads think about us putting little heart emojis on things? Anyway, that's a whole nother, I don't know what we, anyway, but that, so I was putting them on there for things that I love. But you know what that really means? Nothing. Why? What am I doing? If I say, I like your picture, oh, I loved it. Well, does that help you? No. Make you feel a little better? Maybe, but does it do anything for you? If you've got a cause where you're needing help with something or you're asking for a prayer request, what's a heart emoji do? Nothing. I got to stop and pray. I need to call you. I need to help you. So the idea is we have cheapened the word love. We say we love things when the reality is to love mercy, to love loving kindness, is to put your kindness into action. In fact, kindness is love in action. And so I want to encourage you to stop and think in your own life. Do the next right thing in front of you. Do justice, and then love mercy. And that is show kindness to others through action, through how we live. My favorite chapter in all the Bible, I've made this known for several years now, is Romans chapter 12. I love that chapter. If I had to pick one chapter to read every day for the rest of my life, I think I'd pick Romans 12. I love it. And right in the middle of Romans 12 is Romans 12:10. And I love this verse. It talks about having brotherly love for one another. And then it says, outdo one another in showing honor. Now, the verse is not saying have a competition with other believers, but it is reminding us that everywhere we go, we are to try our best to show more honor than anyone else, to show more kindness than anyone else, to show more respect than anyone else, to live that out for them. So you walk into the worship center today and you say, I want to show more honor to everyone in this room than anyone else. You're walking down the halls leaving, I want to show more honor than anyone else. You go to the restaurant at lunch today and it's crowded because it's Father's Day and things are getting out of hand for one reason or another. You want to show more honor and more love and more kindness than anyone else. Driving on 431, good luck with that one. But you show, try to shout out some kindness and love any way you can. So it's to be lived out. It is love in the flesh. It is Jesus in the flesh, Jesus with skin on. It's you and me. So do justice. Do the next right thing in front of you, God's right thing. Love mercy. Seek to live out loving kindness. And then walk humbly with your God. Well, how do you walk humbly with your God? Well, that really is a simple prayer. It starts with you saying, God, help me to see myself the way you see me. If you can see yourself the way God sees you, that is humility. Now, I don't mean think of yourself as a horrible person, because I don't believe that's what God thinks of you. I think God sees you now. Some of you that are walking in him, he knows your sinfulness, but he knows who he's making you to be as well. And then also ask him not only to see yourself how he sees you, but also to begin to see others how he sees them. And so to walk humbly with your God is a whole lot about eyesight. One of my favorite Old Testament stories is about the servant Gehazi with his prophet Elijah. And he is at a place where they are in the home and they are surrounded by the enemy, if you remember the story. And then they think they're going to die. They wake up to look out, and Gehazi looks out, and he sees all of the enemies surrounding them. And the prophet prays that Gehazi's eyes could be open to see what was really happening around them. And when he prays that, God opens Gehazi's eyes to spiritual things, and he sees the enemy encircling this house. But then he sees all of the heavenly armies, angels, encircling all of those enemies. And he knows that God is at work. And so for us, what we need to pray if we want to walk humbly with our God is, God, give me Gehazi's eyes. Give me spiritual eyes. Help me to see people the way you see them. Help me to see myself the way you see me. Listen, if we can begin to work through this, to do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with our God, this simple little plan of living is a much better approach to worship than getting dressed up, coming to church, bringing your tithe, sitting in here. Now listen, we're called to gather together. We're called to come together and worship. But if you have lived for yourself all week long and you come in here and we sing praise to God, he told us just in the last couple of weeks through the prophecies, he's not listening to that. And we just saw here where Micah asked him, God, do you want thousands of sacrifices? No. They were using oil to worship God. Do you want thousands of rivers of oil? No. What do you want? Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God, and worship will flow from that. So friends, I want to encourage you to think through that and what it means for you and for me. God is still concerned about how we live. He's still concerned about how we worship, and he's still concerned about how we treat others. Now, really quickly, let me give you two more key things from Micah, and we'll wrap it all together. Because after he speaks these words to us, then we can see that it's not just giving things that the Israelites were to do then and we're to do now. There was also prophecy about Jesus here. In Micah chapter 5, in the middle of all these prophecies of punishment and what God is going to do, we get this verse about Jesus. Listen to it. Micah 5:2, it says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You thought, there's no way Chris was going to leave the Christmas verse out of this today. You're right. I love Christmas. It's 189 days till Christmas, by the way. But so in this passage where we see the prophecy about the birth of Jesus, that he would be born in Bethlehem, why is that in the middle of all this negative talk and punishment? Again, we tend to think in terms of right here, right now, today, when God is painting a picture that's taking thousands of years to paint. And he was telling them, I'm showing you how you can repent, but the reality is I also know you're still going to fail time and time again. So let me tell you how you're going to find true mercy and true grace in the day to come. So you, O Bethlehem of Ephratah, people say you're too small for anything, but from you will come the Savior of the world. And so we get this beautiful picture of that. And then, as you jump forward 700 years later, Jesus shows up on the scene. And then we see Jesus living out, don't miss this, Jesus lives out the character and the promises of God that in the book of Micah. So in Micah chapter 7, we get this glimpse of God's character and we get a glimpse of God's promises. And then Jesus lives them out. Let me show you really fast and then we're done. In Micah chapter 7, listen to how it describes the hope of God's character. Micah 7:18. Don't miss this. Who is God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression, our sin, for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, for he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Did you hear that? That's God's character. He will not hold on to your transgression forever. He will have compassion on us. He will tread our sins under his feet, and he will cast all of our sins into the sea. Friends, that is your God. What he's done for you and for me. Some of you today need to grab a hold of this hope of God's character, because you're still viewing yourself for what you once did. You're still viewing your past. If it happened years ago and you're stuck there, or maybe it happened this last week, or maybe last night you did the very thing you told God you'd never do again, or maybe you've struggled in some way, this or that. We've all been there. Whatever the case may be, can I say to you, if you're living on that, if that's how you see yourself, that's not walking humbly with your God, because Jesus, who has brought you salvation in new life, would want you to know that he has tread your sin underfoot, that he brings compassion to you and mercy to you. And he doesn't just see you for what you've done. He sees you for who he's making you to be. That's how God wants you to be seen. Now, make no mistake, for those of us that don't know him, he wants you to see for yourself as someone just like the Israelites who desperately need his mercy and grace. So put your hope in the character of God. He makes all things new. And then lastly, put your hope in the promises of God. Look at the next verse, Micah 7:20. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our father from the days of old. What does that mean? Micah knows that God made a covenant with the people of Israel, Abraham, Jacob, with their people hundreds of years before this. And even though they had walked away, that God was going to honor his covenant and was going to draw them back to him. So what does that mean for you today? Listen, friends, here's the simple truth. Don't miss this. God always keeps his word. Let me say it again. God always keeps his word. God always keeps his word. So you can trust whatever's going on in your life. God keeps his word. Now, does that mean your problem's going to go away? No. Does that mean that God has a plan for things to be for his glory and your good? Yes. God always keeps his word. If you're dealing with a health issue, does that mean God's necessarily going to heal you on this earth, or is he maybe going to heal you someday in heaven? I don't know. But I know this, God always keeps his word, and he walks with us through our struggles, and he is near to the brokenhearted. If you're here on this Father's Day and you're struggling because you did not have a good father figure in your life, or maybe you've not had a father for your entire life, or maybe yours has recently passed and you're just struggling with that, listen, I can't tell you that God's going to take all those hard feelings away, but here's what I can tell you, and that is this, God always keeps his word, and the scripture says he is a father to the fatherless. That's who God is. We can trust God at his word, and we can trust him to keep his word. So what are we to do with this book of Micah? Well, first of all, we realize that it still matters 2,700 years later how we live, how we worship, and how we treat others. So we learn to do justice, love loving kindness, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Ask that God would help us to see others and to see ourselves the way he sees us, in true humility, knowing who he is and who we are. And then we seek to trust in the hope of Jesus, because he's the fulfillment of God's character, and the hope of Jesus, because he's the fulfillment of God keeping his promises. Jesus is the promise of God. So friends, I encourage you to stop and think about how that applies to your life today. Would you bow with me? Their heads bowed for just a moment. It's just a moment of privacy. And I want you to think through this with me for a moment. When you look at your own life, how do you rate yourself, if I can use such a word, when it comes to doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with your God? Maybe you would say, Chris, I'm struggling with some of that. I don't always take the right next step in front of me. And the truth is, sometimes I want what I think's right more than what God thinks right. Well, if that's you, this is a great time to just repent and say, God, I want to do what you want, not what's convenient, not what I feel like's best for me, but I want what you want, which I know will ultimately be best for me. God, help me with that. Maybe for you, though, with your heads bowed, you're thinking, I struggle a little bit more with the love mercy, that loving kindness, the way it's lived out with others. Maybe you know it's easy with some people, but hard with others. I get that. I'm right there with you. But would you make a renewed commitment and ask God to help you outdo others in showing honor? Would you ask God to help you be his hands and feet? Would you ask him to help you live out the kindness of God, the loving kindness of God in the flesh? Or maybe you're here and you say with your head bowed, Chris, I'm struggling more with that walk humbly with my God. Just stop and pray that prayer. God, help me to see myself the way you see me. Help me to see others the way you see them. And then act accordingly. Friends, some of you need to grab the hope of God's character, that he does not harbor a grudge, that he does forgive our transgressions, that he does allow us to walk in right relationship with him even when we have failed. Some of you need to grab a hold of God's promises, because you have been struggling to believe some of the things that he's shown us that he's going to do from his word, and you need to find hope in that today. Whatever the case may be, with your heads bowed, I invite you to respond to God. We're going to sing in a moment. We call that an invitation. It's an invitation to respond to God. So maybe you want to come and kneel and pray for yourself, for somebody else. Maybe you want to pray for God to move in someone's life in one of these ways. Maybe you want to repent of one of these things. Maybe you just want to ask God to help you see with his eyes. I don't know. Maybe you know the next right thing and how hard it's going to be, and you want God to give you some help with that, and you want to pray about that. Maybe you, like Alicia, have given your life to Jesus, and you want to follow through with believer's baptism. Come and tell me. I'll be right here. Maybe you, like Alicia back in March, are at a place now where the Lord is prompting you, the Holy Spirit's drawing you, and you know that you need Jesus in your life right now, so you want to give your life to Jesus. Confess your sins and ask Him to save you. The same God who relented in the book of Micah, He's the judge, He's the prosecutor, He is the witness, but that very same God is one more thing. He is also the payment. He's the price. Whatever is struck against you by God Himself, Jesus came to pay the price. So He's the way maker for you. Father God, please have Your way among us in this time. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing as we do what you sing.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.